الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat al-Karima, Allah Ta'ala says we must stay away from all zahiri ism, guna which are open, everyone can see the guna, wa batina, and which are hidden. In other words, gunas which we perform, which we make, what our hands, legs, eyes, what the outward parts of the body, and gunas of the heart also, which are the more severe gunas. Stay away from all types of guna. The gunas of the heart are the more severe, stronger gunas. That is guna like kufr, that is from the heart, shirk, nifaq, and then all other gunas, hasad, jealousy, bughz, hatred, all that gunas which are of the heart, and they are the more severe gunas. But Allah Ta'ala's kalam is kalami mu'ajiz. It's ijaz in Allah's kalam. Allah, that was more important, but Allah did not refer to it first. Allah first referred to zahirul ithm, the outward guna, because it is possible that a person thinks that's a big guna and he overlooks the small guna, the outward gunas. So Allah referred, that is also very important. Even outward gunas, give them up. The main is the gunas of the heart, but even the outward gunas you must give up. Don't think that is not important. The heart is right, like in many discussions of deen, ahadith, etc., that if your heart is right, everything will be right. So don't think that only that is important and you don't worry about your outside, your way of dressing, your lifestyle. This is all zahirul ithm. Our houses, almost 99%, are almost 99 or 100%, like the houses of the non-believers. There isn't a sign of an Islamic house. The only sign that we have is perhaps a frame, what Allah's name, etc. This also we copy them. They also have frames, but they got other things on their frames. We got Allah, Muhammad in our frame. That doesn't make a Muslim house. That is like in a small little madrasa, primary madrasa. The ustad asked one student to stand up. Well, are you a Muslim? Yes. How do you know you are Muslim? My name is Ismail. So he told him, sit down. You are by name Muslim. Another one, he asked him, stand up. Oh, you are a Muslim? Yes. How do you know you're a Muslim? I eat meat. Tu gosh khawa waro Musliman. You're just a Muslim of eating meat. So many of these things, so our Muslim house is just by that one frame. So it's a Muslim house. And besides that, the TV is there, the video is there, all the other things, the whole thing is exactly like a non-Muslim's house. So anyway, so zahir ithm also we must give up, and batinul ithm, the gunas of the heart, which are the most severe gunas, that also we have to give up. Now, like the whole Quran Sharif, these are the commands of Allah Ta'ala, but that is not sufficient. Just the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala did not just send the Quran, but Allah sent it to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got it, he didn't set it with barakat in his house. Like today, many of us, we got the Quran Sharif, but we only keep it for barakat in the house. Put it in a shelf, wrap it, we got a nice cover on it, then on top of that a juzdan. We put some attar also, put some rose petals also, and we pack it away. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that. Now the Quran is meant to propagate it. The Quran is meant to teach it, to propagate it. And the warasatul anbiya, the ulama-i kiram, that is their duty. Not only that we learned nazra, we did tajweed, then we did hifz also, then we did qiraat also, we did tafsir also, and now we sit with that knowledge by ourselves. And we are not propagating it, and we are not bringing it to the people. So that is not right at all. The Quran Sharif was not meant for that only. That is the basic. First, that has to be done, but then you don't stop there. Like a person became a doctor, and after a doctor, he just sat. He didn't serve the community. What's the use of that? He became an engineer, and after that, you didn't serve your community. And you just sit with that knowledge of yours. So like that you become an alim and you just sit with that knowledge. Or, for example, you became a doctor. And now with all that knowledge of yours you acquired, you're not serving the community. You're just giving people some Espros or some Panados or some Disprin. Just some small little medicines you are giving. So we became alims and we are just teaching in a maktab. And we feel we are doing our duty. We are just doing imamat. We feel we are doing our duty. It is part. It is perhaps 5% of what we were supposed to be doing. 10%, at least we are doing that. But today that 5% is looked at 100%. It's not 100%. It is far, far from 100%. So if you can understand what I'm trying to get to, as ulama, when we have acquired the knowledge, then it is our duty to bring it to the masses, to propagate it, to inculcate it and let it come into the people also. We can't just sit with this knowledge. That is important. The condition of the ummah today, that is nothing to be spoken about. Bismillah. Who doesn't know the condition of the ummah? And in that also, we should not fool ourselves. This also happens commonly, like a ostrich, when it sees a problem, trouble, it puts its head in the ground. So it can't see the trouble, so it feels there is no trouble. Okay, so we just living in a Darul Uloom, or in this Dini environment, and we think, no, everything, 5 times namaz taking, Qal Allah, Qal Rasul all day. Zikr is taking place, Allah is carrying on. Jamaats are going out, deen's work is taking place. But that's in the four corners of the madrasa. Just in the madrasa also what is not happening, just outside of the madrasa what is not happening. The condition of the ummah, one young lady, pious lady who got fikr of the ummah, she's teaching young teenage girls. And the condition of those girls, she says almost all of them from a very elite area, rich people, elite suburb area, and most of them got atheistic ideas. Though they are called by Muslims, they're living in Muslims' names, we're accepted as Muslims, but their beliefs are gone way out. They are just like atheists they have become. And we don't realize this is right in almost every one of us in our homes. Especially those of our brothers, sisters, friends who are going to university, etc. Outwardly, they still act sweet in front of us. They come in for namaz, they talk nice to us. But when they're in their own circles, when they're on the phone, when they're on the internet, then see what their condition is. We will get a shock that those who are in our homes and who look that they are quite in order, one friend of ours who comes to our khanqa also regularly, his son became of age, I encouraged him to come to the Darul Uloom, but he had other ideas, he went to university, like that, still he comes, the son also comes sometimes, and outwardly he greets very nice, meets very humbly, but he has become a complete Shia, not only a Shia, he's propagating Shiaism. Their videos, their things, etc. He's giving it out as he's influencing others. But outwardly, whether the father knows or he doesn't know, his friends brought this to our attention. The father might be just also like ducking and diving, just acting as if he doesn't know what's happening. Or maybe he doesn't know really. Or maybe he knows. But this is the condition. Right in our homes today, the enemy is not sitting quiet. They have made such efforts. Right in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif. Some students of Makkah came to study here many years ago. And they were young boys, 10, 11 years. So the parents also came with to settle them in. Haji Sahib, yeah, he looks after our visitors. And those days, Haji Sahib was more young and healthy. So he should take them around. So he took them to what the Sterkfontein caves here, which today is called the cradle of humanity. Where suddenly, this is the place, they say, where humanity started. Where, yeah, in Krugersdorp humanity started. But anyway, they say there is the cradle of humanity. And humanity started here from here in the Sterkfontein caves here. How they are bluffing us and how they are bluffing the people, and we are all just falling for this. Anyway, when they went there, there was a plaque on which was written Darwin's theory of evolution. So they were looking at it, then Haji Sahib is well acquainted with all this. He explained to them, this is complete kufr, that man was born from a monkey, one monkey became a human being, and man came from there. And the answer to Darwin's theory of evolution, there are many. One beautiful answer is which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to give, that if in the history of monkeys, one monkey could become a human being, then in all the history, why didn't a second monkey also become a human being? He says, in York Kruger National Park, there are millions of monkeys. Did any one monkey become a human being? So this is their monkey business. And they are making us also monkeys, that they are telling us that we are from monkeys, whereas Allah says clearly in the Quran Sharif, خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ, I created man in my special way. Man is أَحْسَنِ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. The most beautiful manifestation of Allah's Qudrat is this human being. And Allah made man himself. Allah created man. So this is what they're making us to believe. So anyway, these wrong beliefs are right in Makkah. So those Arabs told Haji Sahib that, what are you talking? This theory of Darwinism is taught right in the schools of Makkah Sharif. Right in our Islamic schools it is being taught. Parents are unaware what these children are going. One Islamic school, the Darwin's theory of evolution is being taught. And the teacher is a Muslim teacher. When the teacher was approached, he said, it's in the syllabus, what can I do? I have to teach it. And he doesn't even inform them that it is wrong. He's just teaching it as it is written in the book, as though this is gospel truth. We met one a young man in the capital of Chile. Is it San Diego? And we were talking, Muslim man, he's studying history in university. So I asked him, since you're studying history, from where does man come? So he thought a little bit, so he said, from a monkey. There is a Muslim's belief. He's studying in a university. Then after a little discussion, I explained to him that aspect. Then I asked him, how did the world come into existence? He thought a little bit, he told me the Big Bang theory. That there was a Big Bang, and then the world came into existence. Whereas with a small bang, things break, they don't get made. And this a huge, huge, huge bang took place, and everything fell place perfectly into perfect harmony, perfect system. Everything fell. What stupidity. But the people are believing in this. This is being, you get your PhD in this. You write a theory on this and you get a PhD on that, a thesis on this, and you get your PhD. This evil in aqaid has come into our homes. Not only the zahir al-ithm, the evil of the outward gunas, but the batini guna, this kufr and shirk is common today in our homes. You might be thinking I'm exaggerating and that I might know, I don't know what I'm talking. But many, many of our youngsters and these girls, the same lady says with regard to those girls that she's teaching, that one was going for a soccer tournament, girls playing soccer. And then she tried to explain to the mother, another girl also, and they are so absorbed in it, they don't see anything wrong in it. One girl, in our fraternity, our society, Muslim what we will call, are playing rugby, playing chess, international chess, going the world over for all this chess, etc., for all these things. What evil is taking place, we don't seem to be, we are not paying any attention. And this is a very serious matter. If a person is to die on kufr, what will be the condition? Our outward things are not going to help us at the time of mort. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. What is in your heart will be taken out. Not what is on your tongue, not your outward appearance. And we know also, even we, how many of us, and then in our families, forget talking about outside people, Ramzan Sharif, Jummah, etc., everyone has got a jubba on, has got a cloak on, everyone is pious. But at other times, what is the dressing? What dressing? Yeah, our students, if we have to check in your bags, how many of you have got your jeans, etc., have got your t-shirts, etc., while in madrasa, it's nice, you're wearing kurta, you're wearing topi, you look, and even amama, and even you look very pious. But in the meantime, what is kept in the bags, etc.? That is what our students here, how many students are like that? And then our brothers, our sisters, what they're dressing. The same lady says, the girls that come, some of them with open Western dressing, terrible dressing, unbelievable for a Muslim girl. And the others wear a cloak. but you can make out very clearly what kind of shoes they're wearing, the jeans they have got on under. The cloak is just a cover to hide all that. It isn't to show and to be a Muslim, but it is to hide that kufr libas and kufr clothes which are under. How many of us, especially with the long Arab jubba, it is also just to hide what is inside. Inside is a t-shirt, inside is are the jeans, etc. Outwardly you just wear the jubba and you look very nice. This is just like how many times when on our safar we go to some people's houses where we are being hosted. They bring the little boys, small boys to come make salam, Maulana is here. And just for that time they put on a topi on that boy which is oversized, covering his ears and his eyes also. But that is only for that 1 minute. And the minute he turns his back, he takes the topi and he throws it away. They bring the little girls to make salam and they got the mother's burqa on, which is also oversized, so big burqa covering the whole face and everything. But it's only for, and then the TV, one place we went to in one country, so while we were to Maulana it was, he invited us for some tea, etc. It was quite late at night also. So I told him in future, remove her from here. So he looked, who's here, which lady is here. So I said, this lady you put niqab on her, the TV. Now when Maulana comes, they just put a tear, they put a niqab on the TV. She became also pious. She's also making parda now. But after that, that burqa, that niqab is off, and you're watching all the filth and dirt. And it's a Maulana's house. And this is common. This is our condition. Now what I'm trying to get to, and what my subject is, that why has this come in? See, if we look at the history of Islam, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, what type of kufr wasn't there? What type of gunas were not there? But how he changed the picture of the world within 23 years, for till Qiyamah he brought Islam, and Islam is in the world today. But how did all that happen? Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not sit with the Quran Sharif in his house for barakat. But he made an effort. What was this effort? And this is important to understand. Today we say lot effort of deen is taking place. But what is this effort? The effort is islah of the people. How the lives of people must change and come towards deen. Call it tablighi mehnat, call it the mehnat of ilm, call it the mehnat of the khanqa. But what is it really? Like, just to give you an idea, very recently, one friend complained of a certain town in our country where Jamaat brothers are, that is 100% tablighi town. So many brothers went for 4 months, so many brothers went for 40 days. All those things are there. But he says, when I make namaz in the masjid, I don't see any musallis. Yeah, when there is a jor, when there is gush, then everyone is there. But like that, even for the 5 time fajr, any namaz, 2 masjids in the town, both masjids are almost empty. Or for example, we're going every year for Umrah, but deen hasn't come in our life. We're going every year to the Khanqah. We are spending 40 days, we are spending 10 days, but deen hasn't come in our life. So that is not what is the effort of deen. That is not what is called islah. The change comes in a person. Hey, that is what is required. And who's going to bring this change? The Warathatul Anbiya. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, and what he did and how he did it. That is what we have to do today. So in short, today, generally, previously, in the a student who graduated, today if a student graduates, alhamdulillah, still the vast majority are involved in some deeni work, whatever it is, imamat, or teaching, maktab, or darul uloom, whatever it is, some type of deeni work, effort we can call it. Very few go out of deeni work and they get fully involved in dunya, in business, in whatever else it is. But there are small percentage like that also. But the majority are still in deeni work. But not one perhaps, when he graduates, is this his concern. How must the people in my community change? How must they come on deen? That fikr that worry about his. Our worry is to make imamat. Our worry is to give bayans. Our worry is to go in jamaat or whatever else. But how in my whole community, how can deen come alive? You are the imam in your masjid, or even if you're not an imam, in your locality, This must be the one. And this was the every alim in the previous days, old days, when he graduated, his worry was not to establish a Darul Uloom, to teach in a maktab, to do imamat. His worry, and his ustad should tell him. Like, for example, we all must have heard of the name Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayh. Was a very, very great person who was in Ajmer. Today all bid'at and all wrong things are taking place, uras and all wrong things are taking place at his qabr. But he was a man not from India. His ustad, his sheikh, send him there for the islah of the people. And go there and make fikr that deen must come in the lives of the people. And how he worked. One English historian, William Meir, he writes that in his one safar from Ajmer to Agra, 90,000 people became Muslims. Just in his one safar. So this, that concern in my town, as many non-Muslims as there are, it's my worry how they can become Muslims. As many Muslims as there are, and those who have got atheistic ideas, especially our young people, those who are in universities, etc., those, and also remember, at university, high schools, etc., these people are being pumped with Western influence all the time. Their literature, their environment, their teachers, their friends, their whole mahal, it is fully, and not one drop also about Islamic aspect. If little bit they are making some gush, or little bit some kitab reading, how that 5 minutes, how can that combat this which is 24 hours, that wrong environment? Our homes are like that. Everything is like that. And with that literature, how it influences a person, this we can't understand, but the enemies have understood this, that what whose literature you read, even if he writes in favor of Islam, like Orientalists, who are not Muslims, but they write, many of them have written in favor of Islam, but that Islam won't come in your life, what that writer is, his influence will come. That is why we are encouraged to read Quran Sharif as much as possible. Then Allah Ta'ala, what Allah wants us to do, that will come in our connection will come with Allah, how much we read Quran Sharif. But these people who are like in these universities, they don't touch the Quran Sharif. They don't read the Quran Sharif. Which buzurg kitabs you read, the mizaj and the life of that buzurg will come into your life. If you read a modernist person, Maududi's books, who writes in favor of Islam, but your mizaj will be that of Maududi, whoever's books you read. So these people who are reading all this Stalin and all this other atheist and all their books they're studying all the time, they have to write exams, Shakespeare they have to study, Milton they have to study, Holmes they have to study, and they study it intensively. That becomes their nature. Inside it is all, it has brewed and it has become strong in their hearts and their minds. Now outwardly they're still making namaz when it's namaz time, but their hearts are fully on that side. So whose duty is this? And then generally our Muslim people, if those who are called pious, it is just because we got a topi, beard and kurta, but that doesn't make you pious. Many of us just because we got that, but what is inside the heart, that is something else. And also if we just got that, how many people, even ulama, may Allah forgive us, with topi, beard and kurta also, but we are so weak in our namazes. We spoke about this aspect in Ramadan. One mufti sahab, who is like very pious also, after that he came to me, he said, from now, all my nafil namazes I will stop and I'll start doing my qaza umri. I got so many qaza namazes. And he's a big mufti of the town. But he's got qaza namazes. So this year, so the reality of deen, the haqiqat of deen, that is what is important. And if ibadat to some percentage, some extent is there, muamalat is almost nothing, zero. And akhlaq is even minus, not even zero, it is minus. So whose duty is this? If this we can realize, I must make my own islah, and I must worry of the islah of the people around me. My whole town I must worry. When some ijtima took place here in Azadville, Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali spoke to the old workers, and particularly then he told me, your whole town, you must be worried, how many orphans there are, how many widows there are, what problems the people have got. All that is our worry, that is the alim's worry. But today we are independent. We got nothing to do with the community. If every person worries of his community, and not your whole community, your masjid and that area which is associated with your masjid, if we have this worry that how many Muslims are there, men, male, female, how many are making namaz, how many are not making namaz. How can we get those who are not making namaz to make namaz? And then the quality of namaz, how can we improve that? Then the education of the youngsters in that area, all our young boys, if they coming madrasa, they not coming. They going university, they going school, they going to missionary schools, they going to white schools, where the environment is again completely against Islam. How can we bring Islam to those little children? If we get half an hour a day, half an hour a week, but this must be our worry. And a person who's got this, what is called that Quran, that burning in him, Allah will open the ways. And then great work, this is our duty. If we don't make the islah of the people, but we are complaining all the time, that is common. Wherever two, three alims sit together, and we are little dini mizaj, oh, see what's happening in the ummah. This is happening in the town. This big wedding took place, so much of money they wasted, that we talk all those things, but we're not working to solve the problem. That is not going to help. If some doctors get together and they say, oh, people are sick, they're dying of cholera, and they are dying of AIDS, and they are dying of HIV, and bronchitis, and TB, but they do nothing about it. That's no fikr you got. And that is how shaitan is bluffing us. So unfortunately, this is our condition. But to have that fikr, even on a small scale, just see, for example, one friend of ours, we were teaching together when we were in Germiston, just teaching in a maktab, but this fikr he had. If you got about 20 children, once a week only, for about 15-20 minutes, each child's house he used to go and visit, and speak to the parents, your child is in my class, etc. And therefore it's necessary, we also have a relationship, if the child has any problem, etc. He weans that whole family over. But we don't do that. Today, our Darul Uloom has become more like a university. The Ustad just comes, gives us sabak and that. No personal relation with it. And we see Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke to a sahabi, he put his hand on his back. He held him. He spoke to him. He used nicknames to make him happy. And how he won them over. He brought his love. So for each student, if we have that today our Darul Ulooms were famous for that. One of the major differences between Darul Ulooms and universities was each student had a personal relationship with his Ustad. Today that is also gone. And this is what is, if we have, and our whole town, unfortunately, I myself, all of us, we are guilty of this. But this is, we don't act ostrich as these things. We have to have this, that concern for every person in your community. Relationship with everyone. Today, how many of us don't know our neighbors? We don't see our neighbors. We don't greet our neighbors. And so much the rights of the neighbors have been mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feared that now in the inheritance they will also have a share. So much their rights were mentioned. But today, generally, Muslim neighbors we are. Yeah, in Azadville, most of us are Muslims, 90% Muslims. But we don't know our neighbors, no relationship with the neighbors. So this is what is required. If we make fikr of the Islah, not only the name of Islah in Khanqa or Tabligh or Ta'lim or anything, but actual, how can people change? Then inshallah, we will see, it won't take long, the amount of ulama that are present and concerned ulama. On the ulama who just have to, little bit they have to click on this side. Like you got a huge amount of information on the internet, but you just have to click there. So if the ulama just click onto this, and they start doing it, a change will come almost overnight in the whole ummah. If we, the ulama, don't blame the ummah, don't blame the people. The enemy have to do their work. Shaitan has to do his work. They are doing. We don't do our work, we're blaming shaitan. We're blaming the West. We do our work. That's what we have to do. And results will come. May Allah give us all understanding, give us tawfiq, and let us realize our responsibility and our duty. We think normally I'm a maulana, for me, my qabr is made, my jannat is made. It must not happen, we are taken greatly to task in the qabr. Because we haven't done our basic duties. Hey, so as an alim, we have got very great and important duties. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand, and may Allah be kind and help and guide us.